We live in a world that is filled with danger. We live in a violent world. We live in a world in which at times we become afraid of the consequences of other people's actions and the violence that besets other people's hearts. We seek shelter and safety. Every once in a while, we feel like the pressure recedes and we get our confidence back. But then a breaking news story hits and it shattered once again. This week, the news story hit with a shooting at two mosques in New Zealand, 50 worshipers dead. It is a horrific idea that someone would attack a house of worship. It causes you to doubt the value of worship. And many people, because of it, will stay away from houses of prayer. The unfortunate reality is that it is easier to worship by watching a television show, by listening to an old Billy Graham sermon, by simply checking out from community and engaging in the power of me and Jesus alone. But there's a problem with that. That's not how God built us. That's not what God intends for us. And unfortunately, that doesn't keep us safe. We can hide. But most of the time, our hiding from danger also means hiding from God. Because God has made it clear to us in the words of Jesus that where two or more are gathered, my presence is. We need each other to truly worship. And we need presence to truly understand the work of the Lord and feel the peace of God. Fear intends to pull you away from that presence. And it's a lot of things that you could be afraid of. Fear is numberless. You can be afraid of things that most of you would never consider being afraid of. There are people that are afraid of being outside, being in crowds, walking on grass, dogs, cats, lizards. You name it, someone's afraid of it. Some people are afraid of certain types of food. You can be afraid of a person that wears hats, a person who has a scarf over their face, a person who has a ceremonial headdress on, a person that wears a clerical collar. I have met people that are afraid of all of those things. Fear is an obstacle to life as God intends you to live it. It's an obstacle to the actions that God intends you to be participating in. And at the end of the day, fear becomes an obstacle to the worship of God and the following of God's will. Now that we've gotten rid of all the phobias, let me ask this simple question. How many of you are afraid to invite someone to church or to share the gospel because of what someone might think, someone might say. We're afraid, but fear is not danger. Danger is to be avoided, but fear is to be overcome. Why do I say that? Well, danger is legitimacy in its threat. Fear is a feeling or an emotional response. There is truly danger in a lightning strike, but many of us have irrational fear of storms. God intends us to overcome our fears because God tells us that God is our protector. Hear the words of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David, when he wrote this, was a man who understood danger. From the time he was a young man, he had been on the run. He had encountered enemies. He had faced war. He cut his teeth quite literally in a battle against a giant for the soul of a nation. He was a general for the king and had led victory after victory against overwhelming odds and thousands of enemies. And then even his own king grew to hate him and despise him and pursue his death. David had one place of peace, worship, and the presence of God. The one thing he wanted was the peace of dwelling in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek God in the holy place. That's what the people of God have always wanted, to be in God's presence, to worship, to hear the voice, to feel the peace, to know that you are loved. When Jesus encounters friends who warn him about Herod, and you notice I put friends in air quotes. The question is whether they were really friendly. But they had an intention, an intent to keep Jesus away from Jerusalem, away from conflict, and away from the temple. History refers to the temple in this time frame as Herod's temple, named not after the Herod of Jesus' time, but at that Herod's father, King Herod the Great, who renovated the temple. And in keeping Jesus away from Jerusalem, the fear of Herod would have kept Jesus away from the holy place that he desired. It's important to recognize that Jesus always loved to be in the temple. We hear the story that when Jesus was a child, he disappeared from the group that was visiting Jerusalem. He wandered off. And when they searched and searched for Jesus, they found him as a boy inquiring in the temple of the Lord, talking to the priests, astonishing them with the depth of his knowledge and his questions. From the time he was a child, he wanted to be in the one place where he knew he belonged. Do you remember the words that Jesus gave when Mary and Joseph finally tracked him down? He said, "Why wouldn't you know that I would be in my Father's house?" Think about that for a moment. This is where, as a child, Jesus knew he belonged. This is his Father's house. And while David and each of us can know that this is indeed his Father's, our Father's house, for Jesus, this has deeper meaning, doesn't it? And Herod and his associates want to keep Jesus away from Jerusalem. This is going to blow over in a few days. It's going to boil over. When Jesus finally arrives, remember what Jesus says in Luke at the last verse of this passage is, "You won't see me again until they say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" When was that? Triumphal entry. And the Gospel of Luke makes it clear that on the triumphal entry, Jesus enters Jerusalem, enters the temple, and cleanses it. This action is Jesus reclaiming safety and peace for all people. And outside of the threats against Jesus, outside of Herod blocking Jesus, outside of the people of God rejecting Jesus, this cleansing doesn't have the depth, the sense that it does when you understand that this is his house, his Father's house, and he's been kept and barred from worship, from the one thing he seeks. But it's deeper than that, because Herod is also barring Jesus from the second claim of his life. Jesus isn't just the Son of God. He's not simply the Son of Man. He's also the Son of David. You see, this isn't just his temple. It's his city. When he hears of it, when he responds to it, he then mourns over a city that has turned away from him. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." This is a king without a country. It's a prophet without a place to worship. It's the Son of God who is being restricted from his Father's house. And Jesus mourns. And Jesus weeps. And Jesus waits. The 27th Psalm ends with Jesus, with David writing, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Don't turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord." And Jesus tells those who are listening that in 3 days, he will return. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord, because his goodness will be seen in the land of the living. Last week I told you that every Sunday in the season of Lent was a day in which we break our fast, in which we celebrate not just the cross, but the resurrection. And let me tell you something. It's a long wait between Friday and Sunday. It's a difficult time as you recognize that Jesus is about to enter into pain in his passion. As Jesus walks toward the cross, it is to deny himself and do God's will alone. But Jesus experiences the full blessing and the goodness of the Lord. And I want to make sure you hear this. In the land of the living. You see, many of us spiritualize the resurrection of Jesus. We make it into Jesus returning as a ghost. Jesus as being someone who rises like everyone rises. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus did not return as a ghost. He ate. He had flesh and he was touched. He was changed. But he was real. And he walked in the land of the living. But in order to do that, he and those who would follow him have to wait and be strong and take courage. And let me say it again, wait. I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting. I'm not a fan of waiting. I'm not a fan of courage, frankly. But God tells us through the psalmist and in the life and actions of Jesus, that those who in the strength of God's Spirit wait upon the Lord in courage, that their prayers are answered and they are blessed even in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Let me be blunt. Many of us are waiting. Life is not easy. And oftentimes, as soon as you feel like you're on a smooth course, the road gets bumpy again. A new crisis develops, a new problem, a new situation that demands courage. And it feels like we're constantly waiting for the peace, for the victory, for the joy. Jesus understood that. And that's why Jesus prayed. And that's why Jesus worshiped the way he worshiped. That's why he walked away from the crowds. That's why he disappeared for times. That's why he engaged in the serious and important qualities of spiritual life. He knew his scripture. He prayed for days at a time to enter into the presence of God. He fasted. He worshiped. He understood that peace was not a destination, that peace was what we bring to our trip, that peace is what we share with the world when we engage with the Lord. And it allowed Jesus to have peace even in the presence of the worst storms, the most difficult conflicts. Even while carrying the cross, Jesus continued to minister to others, even while being crucified Jesus showed love and worked toward reconciliation, welcoming even a brigand and a criminal into the kingdom. The victory of the cross was a victory of the people of God waiting, taking strength in the Spirit. The victory of the cross was God the Son showing us the way and walking it. Here's the truth. My cross will never be the burden that His was. My victory is not in my own strength. And my peace is not by my own doing. The victory that I have is when I wait upon the Lord and I take confidence that the work has already been accomplished. Jesus has made a place for me in His work, in His sacrifice, on His cross, and in His resurrection. I have been given victory in Him. And so this is all I need do. Find my place and rest in Him. Jesus quite literally will take care of it while I wait. While I gain strength in His presence. And how do we do that? Read your scripture. Know God's word. Take the time to pray and meditate. Find your way of disengaging so that you can place your full focus. Some people fast. Some people shut down their electronics. Some people disengage by taking a hike in the woods. But find that place and embrace the victory in Jesus. It may not be easy, but it's simple. Be the people of God and follow as Jesus leads. Let us pray. Loving God, give you thanks and praise today for claiming and giving us victory in your cross. Help us to wait. Help us to take heart in you and to be strong in your Spirit. Help us to be confident not in our work, not in our ability, but in your grace. And in your love, help us to know that you have created for us a shelter, salvation from the storm, salvation from fear. You are our light, and in you, no enemy can ever overcome. Help us, dear Lord, to put our faith and trust in you alone and to walk in that faith, in your light, and in your salvation so that the world might know your great love and experience your great grace. And we pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's close today our worship time with the hymn On Eagle's Wings.